John chapter 20. We're going to read, picking up where we left off. John 20, verse 1. All that we read in John 19 occurred on Friday. Now, verse 1, chapter 20, the first day of the week, Sunday. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. And she saw the stone was taken away from the sepulchre. And then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John. John never uses his name in his epistle. Nowhere does he say, I, John. But he talks about, he identifies himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, who leaned on his breast at the Last Supper. And she said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple, and they came to the sepulchre. So they ran both of them together, and the other disciple, John, did outrun Peter. He came first to the sepulchre. And here's his nature. And he stooped down, looked in, saw the linen clothes, but he didn't go in. That's John. Peter's different. Here he comes. Then cometh Simon Peter, and following him, and went right into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Our Lord didn't leave that tomb in haste. He laid everything aside meekly. Wrapped together a place by itself. Then went he in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and he believed. He believed. The Lord's risen. That's what he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, but John believed. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And this angel said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they've laid him. They've stolen his body. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. But she knew not that it was Jesus, whatever the problem. Her eyes might have been just clouded with tears because she was weeping. Then again, seeing a man standing there, she may not have lifted her head. But then again, he might have kept her from knowing who he is. But nevertheless, she didn't know it was the Lord Jesus. And he said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, if she'd looked there closely, she'd known it wasn't the gardener, you know. He's in glorified body here. But she didn't look that closely. But she said to him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, you tell me where you've taken him, where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus spoke to her, Mary. She turned then. She turned herself, and she knew who it is. She knows who it is now. She said, Rabboni, Master. Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Now here's my text. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, don't cling to me. Most of the writers believe that when she turned and when he spoke her name, she turned and saw him and knew who it was, my master. She fell at his feet and embraced his feet. And he said, Don't cling to me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. I'm not yet ascended. He's going to ascend. That's what my subject is today. the ascension of Christ. Just touch me not. Don't cling to me. He's going to appear to them over and over and over again. He appeared to over 500 of them after he rose from the grave. He stayed there 40 days before he ascended. But you do this. Now listen to whom the message is sent. You go to my brethren. Go to my brethren. That's a term of compassion and love. You go to my brethren. You know, when Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, he had compassion. His compassion is impressive, isn't it? Joseph, after all those years, he was mistreated because of them. And when he revealed himself to them, he said, "Don't be afraid. I'm Joseph, your brother." Comma. But he added something. "Whom you sold into Egypt." He reminded them what they'd done. But when our Lord tells this woman to take this message to his disciples, he didn't say to those fellows who denied me, who forsook me, who didn't believe me, and who don't believe me now. He just said, "Go to my brethren." Our Lord doesn't remember our sins. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? Just go to my brethren. My brethren. One of the angels who talked to the women said, "Go and tell his disciples, and be sure you tell Peter." And Peter. Because Peter sat there three times in that beside that fire and said, "I don't know the man." But all forgiven, all forgotten. Go to my brethren. Our gracious Lord makes no mention of their denial, unbelief, forsaking him, just my brethren. Go to my brethren. All right. Here's the message. Now you say to them, now you tell them this right here. Here it is. "I send to my Father. God is Father, Christ is Son." There's the eternal Father and the eternal Son. There can't be an eternal Father who doesn't have a Son. And there can't be an eternal Son who doesn't have a Father. The Scripture is so clear on this. "In the beginning was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father." He's the Son of God as no one else is the Son of God. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now you say to the disciples, my disciples, my brethren, "I go to the Father. I came from the Father. I go back to the Father. I go to the Father. He that's seen me has seen the Father." But now listen. "I go to my Father and to your Father." We're not sons of God as He is. He's the eternal Son of God. He's the Son of God in essence, in nature, in being. But we're sons of God by adoption. By adoption. Let's turn to Romans 8 and read that. By adoption. "And a son that's a son by adoption is an heir just like any other son who's natural born." In Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're sons of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, 'Father, Father,' you're adopted. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, we're children of God. I go to my Father, but I go to your Father. He's your Father, by adoption. And if you're children, you're heirs of God, and you're joint heirs with Christ. Through the eternal covenant that God Almighty made with Christ on our behalf by spiritual union with Christ, we have the same relationship as Christ with sons of God. And that's what he prayed for us in his priestly prayer. He said, the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that you sent me and you love them as you love me. I go to my Father, and oh, what a thrilling statement. And your Father. And your Father. But now look at the next line. You say to my brethren, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Why does he differentiate here? To my God. As the man, Christ Jesus. Now, he had a mother. I go to my Father. I don't have a father down here. I have a mother down here because I was born like you're born. As a man, Jesus Christ addressed God as my God. That's it. Many times he said, my Father. Father, I know you always hear me. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Holy Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. But as our substitute, as the man Christ Jesus, he called the Father God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I go to my God. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. And here he's talking as the man Jesus Christ, as the Messiah. As a man, he was born. As a man, he was circumcised. As a man, he worshiped God, just like you are this morning. As a man, he kept the feast days. As a man, he obeyed God. As a man, he loved God. As a man, he glorified God as no other man, as our representative. And this is how he's speaking here in Hebrews 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God. This is the man. I come to do your will, O God. He's not a private man here. He's a representative man. The first Adam didn't do his will. The second Adam says, I come to do your will, God. I come to glorify you on earth, God. All right, look at verse 9. He said it again. Then said I, thank God we have him. Aren't you glad? Then said I, Lord, I come to do thy will, O God. You take away the first priesthood, first tabernacle, first mercy seat, first atonement, first covenant, first Adam, first nature, first heaven, first earth. You take away the first, and on me, through me, by me, you establish the second, the new covenant. I go to my God. And my God satisfies. But now wait a minute. And I go to your God. I go to your God. He's every man's God by creation. That's right. He's everybody's God by creation. Said over there in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord thy God. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It's he that made us. He's our God by creation. He's everybody's God by creation. He hath made us, not we ourselves. What do you say in Psalm 24? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Because he founded it upon the seas. He created it. So he's everybody's God by creation. But he's our God by revelation. Christ said, you go to my brethren, you tell them, I send to my Father and your Father. Same relationship. And I go to my God, a satisfied God, a reconciled God, a redeeming God. I go to my God and your God. And he's your God by, not just by creation, but by revelation. For the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know God. This is the true God. This is eternal life. Christ prayed in John 17. He said, Father, you've given me power over all flesh. that I might give eternal life to as many as you've given me. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, that they might actually know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And that's how he's our God. We know him by revelation. We know him by faith. Abraham believed God, and God said, he's my friend. He called God friend. God called him friend. Abraham believed him. And Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've surrendered, committed to him against that day of judgment. He's my God by revelation, by faith. He's my God by confession. I confess before him and the world. He's my God. He appeared to the disciples and he said, Thomas, reach hither your hand. Touch my hands and my feet, my side. And don't be faithless, but believing. And Thomas fell at his feet and confessed, my Lord, my God. He's my God. I go, your God. And he's our God by covenant mercies. Now listen, here's the basis of all of it. Turn to Ephesians 1. Here's the basis of the whole thing, right here. He's my God. He's my Father. He's my God. As he is the Savior's Father and God. Our Father and your Father, my God and your God. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. See that? Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, not our will, his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted. We didn't accept him. He accepted us. We believed him. We received him. We submitted to him. But he accepted us. He accepted us. I go to my brethren. Go to my brethren whom I love, the children that God gave me, my family, my children, and say to them, I send to my Father, your Father. I send to my God, satisfied, reconciled God. He had reconciled us to God by himself through the blood of his cross. Your God. And watch this now. I send. What does this mean? Well, there are three words that will help us here. One is, I'm going away. I turn to John 16. Back just to John 16. I'm going away. Verse 5 of John 16. But now, you see it, John 16, verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things to you, that I go away, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter won't come unto you. But if I go away, I'll send him to you. And when he's come, he'll convince the world of sin. He'll take the things of mine and show them to you. That's right. When he comes. Now, if Christ doesn't go away, no Holy Spirit comes down here. See, Christ is in the body. And though his mind is in other places at the same time, his body's in one place. See this, what I'm saying? The Spirit is in every place. The Lord Jesus Christ were here this morning in the body. He wouldn't be down at Danville in the body. He wouldn't be down at Albany in the body. He wouldn't be over at Rocky Mountain in the body. He wouldn't be in Florida in the body. He'd be here. So I go away. He's the man, Christ Jesus. He's still the man, Christ Jesus. There's one God, one mediator between God and me, and that's the man, Christ Jesus, who's at the right hand of God, who's our advocate, mediator, intercessor. But the Spirit of God is in every place, in every believer. And if I don't go away, He doesn't come. That's all. And you have no comforter. That's right. But his ascending is going away for that purpose, and then his ascending is his exaltation. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and let Peter tell us about this. Acts chapter 2, Peter at Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 32. Acts 2, 32. This is Peter speaking at Pentecost. He says, verse 32, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. We saw Him, touched Him. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He's exalted. At the right hand, where? Right hand of God. He's exalted. And we're seated with Him in the heavenlies. And thirdly, He has entered the veil as our forerunner. Let's turn to Hebrews 9 and I'll show you that. He's there for us. He's there as our forerunner. Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews 6, verse 19. We have a hope. First Hebrews 6, 19. We have a hope as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Go tell my brethren, I send to my God, my Father and your Father, my God and your God, and I go away that the Holy Spirit might come, that I might be exalted in me and you in me exalted. Glorify them with the glory which you gave me. And that as their representative, as their forerunner, as their high priest, I enter within the veil and open the veil that they might enter with boldness and come before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help. Now let me answer four questions in closing. Who is this that ascended? His name is Jesus. He's Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, of whom the angel said to Joseph, now Joseph, don't be afraid to take unto you as your wife Mary. That holy thing which is conceived in her is the Son of God. Now you call His name Jesus because He'll save His people from their sins. And He was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. And He walked the streets of their cities. He went about doing good. And they took Him and crucified Him. Nailed Him to a cross. We read about that a moment ago. They took Him down from that tree, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus put Him in a tomb and wrapped Him up in the linen. On the third day He arose again. And He ascended back to the Father. This same Jesus ascended. That's what Peter, you use that statement over and over again. Turn back to Acts again. That same Jesus. The one born of Mary. The one crucified on the cross. The one buried. The one risen. That same Jesus. And this is not another. That's the reason He was buried in a tomb in which nobody had ever lain. Because when the tomb was found empty, it wasn't someone else who had come forth. It was Christ, the same Jesus. Now, what's these scriptures? In Acts 2, 32, this Jesus, whom God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord in Christ. Now, back to Acts 1, verse 11. And the angel said in Acts 1:11, "Ye men of Galilee," Acts 1:11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." That's right. The same one, Paul said, who descended, who came into the world, is the one who ascended. And the angel said, that same Jesus will come again. And that's comforting to me, because he's the only one that can help me and save me and redeem me and make me accepted in him. But it gives me this comfort too, that this same Henry, whom he redeemed, who knows and loves you, this same Henry is going to come forward and go to glory. That's right. The same Jesus who saved the same people. He's the same and we're the same. But he didn't come forth from the grave with the same body they put in the grave. He came forth with a glorified body that couldn't die, couldn't bleed, and couldn't suffer. That's right. And that's where we're coming from. The same Jesus. You see, that's so important. Who ascended? The same Jesus. And Peter was very careful in speaking to those religious Jews to let them know this. That same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, whom you crucified, he arose and he ascended to God. He's coming back. To what place did he ascend? That's the second question. Well, there's plenty of scriptures to answer that. He said, "I go to my Father. I go to my Father and your Father. I go to my God and your God." Here's another scripture. He said to the thief, "Today I shall be with me in paradise." And in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul tells us where paradise is. He said, "I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but he was taken into the third heaven, into paradise." The first heaven is around here. The second heaven is where the stars and the moon and the sun. The third heaven, throne of God. And that's what Christ said to the thief. He said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Hebrews 9 says, Jesus Christ, our Lord, didn't go into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself. Within the veil. That's the Holy of Holies. On the right hand of God. We have an advocate with the Father. Who ascended? Saint Jesus. Where did he ascend? This is the scripture that just clinches the whole thing. Our Lord said, "Is this hard for you to believe? Wait till you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before the world was made. I was with him in the beginning," he said, and that's where he is now. Ascend up where he was before he came down here and accomplished all this for us. Well, here's my third question. How did he ascend? He ascended triumphantly. Triumphantly. Turn to Acts 1. I want to show you this. This will bless you. Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, verse 8 through 11. How do you ascend? Triumphantly. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sights. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. The angels were present. When he came to this earth, the angels were present. The angels appeared out there on the Judean hillsides and a heavenly host and said unto you, "This day is born a Savior, Christ the Lord." And when he went to glory, he was surrounded by angels. How do you know that? Well, turn with me to Psalm 20, to Daniel 7. Daniel chapter 7. You want to write this down and read it later again. I've already read it 12 times in getting this message. I want you to read it over and over again. And there's so much said here, I can't touch it. Daniel's vision of God's kingdom. Daniel 7, 9. Oh my, listen, Daniel 7, 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set. The books were open. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. But I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Oh, the clouds took him up, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And it was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. He came with the clouds, and they gave him a kingdom. Now turn to Psalm 24 and listen to this. Here's his entrance. On that day when they stood gazing into heaven and beheld him taken up in the clouds. And here's the song of triumph. Listen. Psalm 24:7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up the everlasting doors. Psalm 24, verse 7. The King of glory is going to come in. Who's this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, mighty and bound. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be even. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. Thousands and thousands and millions of hosts. King of glory is the Lord of hosts. How did he ascend triumphantly? But wait a minute. How did he ascend? I read it to you a while ago. While he was doing what? Blessing them. He was taken up. He left here blessing his church. I'll show you that in Luke 24. Let me show you that in Luke 24. He left here triumphantly. It's finished, he said, but he left here blessing his church. In Luke chapter 24, verse 50. And he led them out, Luke 24, 50, as far as Bethany. Lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. He left here triumphantly and left here blessing them. Because really, he took us with him, the Lord of hosts. We seated with him. Why did he come? Why did he die? Why did he ascend? Two words for us. Christ hath entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. The forerunner is for us, entered in, even Jesus. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He hath made him to be sin who knew no sin. He hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That's where it is. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you. If where I am, there you may be. What a blessed hope. What a blessed hope.